You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
You can't beat simple. That's why the first place I turn to when I need something is Grainger. I don't want one place for my safety products and another for my abrasives. Grainger has over 1.2 million products and the solutions I need to help keep this place running. Grainger. Simple. Simple. Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
A new poll shows a tightening race between the top two Democrats running for the White House. USA's Chris Barnes has details.
A new CNN ORC national survey showing Hillary Clinton with 52% support, Bernie Sanders with 38%. CNN notes that it's the closest Sanders has come to Clinton since early last September. And at that point, Clinton was just 10 points ahead of Sanders, but Vice President Joe Biden had yet to announce that he wasn't jumping into the race. In this latest poll, former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley continues to lag way behind, polling in single digits with, in this poll, just 2%. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is apparently not fazed that young people may be leaning towards Bernie Sanders for the Democratic nomination. During a town hall meeting in Des Moines, Clinton remarked that she's happy that young people are involved in politics in any way. Clinton says she expects a spirited contest in the caucuses and primaries, but the important thing is that the party lines up behind its candidate once they're chosen. This is USA Radio News.
GEICO applauds your inner road champion.
A solid bump from GEICO's fist to yours goes out to the little rebel that lives within. The one who made you daydream as a kid about owning a chopper, chroming it out, and chewing on toothpicks. Just to look tough. For you, champ, GEICO insures motorcycles with great rates. And to further fuel your engine, you can access your policy anytime, day or night, through the GEICO mobile app. Because GEICO knows that even make-believe renegades need help from time to time.
GEICO Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
Transgender athletes could be set to compete in this summer's Olympic Games without having gender reassignment surgery, USA's Tammy Rose reports.
Transgender athletes have been allowed in the Olympics since 2004, but only after surgery and 2 years of hormone therapy. The proposed rule change by Olympic Committee medical chiefs establishes hormone-based criteria. Anatomically, male competitors must prove their testosterone levels have been below a certain benchmark for a year to compete in female divisions. They must also declare their female gender. IOC medical chiefs also proposed a rule change that allows female-to-male transgender athletes to compete in the male category without restriction. I'm Tammy Rose.
Schools in Sebring, Ohio remain closed for a third day because of elevated levels of lead found in water pipes. It's a second Midwestern town now facing lead contamination in water, the other being Flint, Michigan. A Colorado man is getting over $250,000 settlement 3 years after police killed his dog. Police in Commerce City responded to a report of a loose and vicious dog in 2012. Officers say the dog viciously ran at them before they stunned and shot it multiple times. Video recorded by a neighbor showed the dog had already been secured with a catch pole and was cowering before being shot. And an accused murderer is continuing his Indiana political career behind bars. The Chicago Tribune reports Robert Battle was sworn in Friday for his second term as an East Chicago City Councilman while serving time in the county jail. We're on the web at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Hi, this is Joe Peters at our first of the new year 55 plus program. We're going to have with us today Linda Bryant, who's with Hunterdon Healthcare, and I'm going to introduce her in a few minutes. First things first, I want to give you a rundown on what's happening weather-wise. It's great. It's great. Things are melting. I mean, we came pretty close to, or even beat, depending who you're going to listen, the worst snowstorm we've ever had. I don't think it matters. I think what matters is it's piled up. We can see blacktop. The snow is melting. I passed a gas station at, I guess it was Hess, what used to be Hess. I think it's Express now, and it was $1.56. credit card. Good news, I think, because for every yin, there's a yang. I know a lot of people in the oil industry have lost their jobs because of what's going on, but I know just two radio shows back, I was bragging about $1.73, so it's still coming down. Weather looks like it's going to continue. We've got a high of 39 today. It's going to be into the 40s, back into the high 30s, and right on for the weekend, it's going to continue that. Get down a little below freezing each night, so watch out for that black ice when you get up in the morning. And then, in effect, you can start to enjoy watching the snow melt. And based on a computer model I've got in front of me, not very scientific, but it doesn't show any forecast. A little bit of precipitation tomorrow night, I believe, but not amounting to anything. And hopefully we get all this stuff melted and out of here. Going to play a few paid commercials. Once again, it's Joe Peters at 55 Plus. And this is a program that I do. I'm a realtor of Weikert Realtors in Clinton. I cover all of Hunterdon and Somerset County. But this program is dedicated to helping the people that have 55 in their rearview mirror and are pulling up on 65 or maybe just past that as well. We're going to talk about some of the things that are affecting you and affecting the people that have even pulled a little further down a road and are senior citizens today. First things first, here's one of our paid commercials.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hello, it's Joe Peters once again with 55 Plus, and along with me today is Linda Bryant from Hunterdon Healthcare. Linda, say hello.
Hi, it's good to see you, Joe.
Hey, I appreciate you coming up and joining us today. Why don't you give our listening audience a little about your background and job, and then we'll get into a little bit of dialogue as to some of the things that are coming up.
Sure. Well, first of all, I just want to thank you for inviting me to be on the show with you. I love talking about the Memory Center and geriatric assessment and just talking about different elderly situations that we can help with improving along the lines. My background is as a nurse, and I have worked for the Hunterdon Medical Center for 40 years, hard to believe. But it's been a long time.
40 years.
But I had different positions at different times. So I worked as a visiting nurse for 4 years, and I worked at Phillips Barber Family Health Center for 13 as their supervisor. And I left the area for about a year. I got married and traveled through India and Europe and came back and started working in the endoscopic area at Hunterdon Medical Center, and then started in geriatrics all over again.
Wow.
It's been a journey. It really has.
40 years. What have you seen change the most in 40 years?
Oh, wow. I would say one of the things that has changed remarkably has been computer and technology.
Okay.
Technology's been a big thing in the nursing. Nursing today, doctor's orders, everything is on the computer. You're learning all kinds of different programs, medication programs and order programs that are now on in the hospital setting. So it's been a big change in the communication of medications and doctor's orders to nurses and even the way we discharge patients as well.
I can believe that. I know even in my business, which is real estate, everything's automated just about. Process control. If I, for example, sell a house and we get through the attorney review process, it then tells me the next six things I need to do. And if one of them is inspection, well, then I got four more things to do. So I find that we're much, much more productive than we used to be because of computers. But at the same time, it's a constant learning thing. What was new yesterday is old today almost with the computers. Do you find that the technology needs a lot of education, or is it more intuitive in your field?
Well, I think it is. You do see changes occurring as new programs come out. You know, for example, with even with medications, you put a new medication program into a hospital system. You know, there's in the next, I don't know, maybe 6 months, you might even see something new come out again. So mm-hmm. there's always new technology happening. And you do have to keep up with it if you want to stay in the ranks.
Right. I know when I worked in a corporate world, we used to say some people never turned that last curve. That it may have we converted from this computer system to that computer system or from this software application to that sooner or later somebody says, I don't want to learn anything new, and that's about where it's over for them. It's always work for people, but when people don't want to change anymore or don't want to learn anymore, it becomes an issue. And I know in my business you can't stop, and in yours it's probably
the
much
same.
More advanced.
So
fascinating why I started at 55 plus, because I wanted to get involved with the people who are approaching retirement. And what I did with my involvement in Hunter County is met Linda and some of the others who have been on and will be on the show. And based on some of the fascinating conversations I've had with them, I've invited them on just so that our listeners can sort of understand that as well. Explain your position or describe your position as it exists today.
Well, my position is as director of the Center for Healthy Aging. I've been a director there for quite some time. And I think it does change even in my position from week to week, sometimes month to month. But for the most part, what I've been doing education in the community to talk to people, mainly seniors and caregivers, the importance of really getting assessed properly when there are issues regarding memory or any cognitive impairment. I feel it's very important so that they can be treated well or properly and that they're put on the straight path, knowing that there's somebody out there that will help them, especially as their dementia may increase. So that's one of the things that has taken a big part of what we do, because we do geriatric assessment, and we also are beginning to see younger people come into the situation where they find that they don't have the ability to remember certain things, and we try to figure out what's causing that impairment and get them therapy or get the medication or whatever it is that they might need.
So when does somebody get introduced to you? Do they pick up the phone and call Linda, or is it how do you make the connection with that first conversation?
Well, being part of the Hunter Medical Center, we're on their website too, which is very helpful. And anybody that's looking for something one way or another, they can really tune into the website and kind of basically skim around and find what they want. And If they're looking for memory, you know, things will come up. It's under neurosciences or senior services or geriatrics. There's always a way to kind of tune in to something about memory loss. The piece to it, I do a lot of outside speaking in the community to senior centers, to people in the community that are really experiencing problems that have connections. By word of mouth, you get referrals. Physicians refer their patients. So that it's, you know, basically one of the ways that we really deal with cognitive impairment is really assessing them.
So if one of the children of somebody who's experiencing problems wants to understand what the problem is, which is probably first, and then secondly, what's available to me within
exactly.
the county, that would be a person would be good for you to talk to.
Absolutely.
So they would call 110 Healthcare and ask for?
They could ask for the Memory Center itself,
okay.
or they could ask for Linda Bryant as well.
Okay.
And those two referrals in itself are very important.
Very good. So you're a registered nurse by education?
Yes, I am.
Where did you go to school at?
I went to school at Bronx Community College.
Wow.
And I came out, actually I spent a little bit of time working in Jacoby Hospital in their recovery room, which
okay.
is, as I had mentioned to you earlier, it's Jacoby Hospital is basically just like the Bellevue of Manhattan, Bellevue Hospital.
Right.
So I came out to New Jersey about a year after that and started working at Somerset Medical Center in their ICU, and that was back in 1968.
Wow.
So it was a long time ago.
Wow. probably half of our listeners, I'm saying readers again, can't think back to 19, but I remember 1968 in the 60s. They say if you could remember them, you weren't there. But it was a different time.
It's a very different time, yeah.
And when you came out to Hunterdon County, you said Somerset County first and then Hunterdon County. This must have been
culture shock.
Yeah, it must have been the Wild West to you.
It was. It was very different.
And today, what is the biggest change between then and now as far as the community?
Oh, I would say the volume of traffic and the number of strip malls.
Okay.
And how even the strip malls that did exist then have converted. As an example, there's a strip mall over where the podiatrist, Dr. Foreman, has his practice.
Okay.
And that's changed. But before that, it was a Robert Hall clothing
really?
Store.
That's a name I remember. I mean, my mother used to take us at Easter, and we'd get her okay. sport jacket and tie and hat, and Robert Hall was a...
Right.
Wow, I can still picture the format of the store. So is that he the one that's right on...
Route 31.
Route 31, where the big flag is, I think.
Yes.
Cause
mm-hmm.
He has a partner that I go to when I need work done on my foot. And I remember driving past because I was looking at this beautiful flag furling itself in the air, unfurling itself. Wow. So.
And the other big change is where next to ShopRite, not ShopRite, right next to ShopRite, where they have that strip mall where Bed Bath & Beyond and Marshall's is. That used to be a place called Majors. And it had clothing store and also food that you could... It's almost like the bigger form of BJ's.
Okay.
You know, very different.
So it's almost like we've gone full circle because I'm really wondering what the Price Club is going to do to our economy. I mean, have you seen the site?
I have.
It looks like they're building a rocket center in there. I mean, have you ever driven up if you get to Florida or one of the resorts and there's like a Planet Hollywood or a, what's the other one that's like that out in the distance? It looks like a pyramid. This looks like it's going to be the same thing. It's got to have a tremendous impact. And they're even get down to selling gas, I understand.
Right.
Let's stay on subject, though. It's easy to... I understand, though, from somebody who lived here that all the lights on 31 used to go to blinking lights at 5 o'clock. Do you remember that?
No. That I don't remember.
And now we've got all these...
Now we have
regular stoplights.
Yeah.
So talk a little about the Memory Center. What, how long has that been in operation? What does it consist of?
Well, the Memory Center has been in operation since around 2007, I would say. And we did this because we were beginning to see that memory impairment was beginning at younger ages. And there are many, many reasons people have memory impairments. You know, I'm not one for a lot of statistics, but I think sometimes to make a point, there are about 5 million Americans with Alzheimer's disease or another form of dementia.
Right.
And when you look again at the beginning stages, which many people start out with mild cognitive impairment, there are 15 million people with that right now.
Wow.
And it, in my opinion, and I think a lot of the literature backs it, it's important for people when they have cognitive impairment to understand why they have it. Is it because of an accident, because of head trauma, because of medications, an illness, chemotherapy, or is it the beginning of a form of dementia? And I think when you can't quite diagnose it, it's important to be connected to a site that will test you frequently and keep on top of it and to let you feel like you're not alone in dealing with that.
Right.
There are now cognitive therapy places in Hunterdon County people can go when they have cognitive impairment, and it's appropriate for some people to start out doing that and to be also advised what they should be doing to try to help that process of stimulating the brain and keeping it active and keeping it healthy. A lot of people don't think about it, but how you care for your body really affects how your brain functions. And if you think about cardiovascular disease as an example, cardiovascular disease can be caused by diabetes. And if you have problems with blood sugars, your diabetes can get out of control. It can cause damage to blood vessels. Blood vessels obviously are going to be the source of nourishment to the brain by right. stimulating the blood flow. So if you have impairments like that, it's important to find, is this something that we need to address? Do we have to really get down to the basics and look at, do you have high blood pressure and should we get that under control? Do you have an out of control blood sugar problem? Anything that really affects cognition has really be the thing that you have to fix or the thing that you have to control.
So when you say the patients are getting younger, what do you attribute that to?
Well, I think there are many things out there that can cause brain injury or cause people to have problems. I think today we have so much technology, we have so much in the way of new medications to treat cancers. There are new medications for almost any of the illnesses out there. Sometimes they can have side effects.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't to say you shouldn't take them, but you need to be aware so that you can at least keep an eye on things and know whether or not it's one thing or another. And if you know that it's chemotherapy that's giving you this memory loss, then maybe we should look at it. But there is one thing that we can fix. And when we started out with the Memory Center, one of the diagnoses that we saw pretty frequently, and I was really amazed at it, was depression. People with depression many times do have memory impairment. They're not able to focus. Therefore, they can't remember a lot of the things. And they worry that they might have the beginning stages of dementia. So I think it's important to determine what's depression, what's dementia, is it medications that you're on? It's always very good to know what the source of the impairment is. You can treat depression. You can clear that memory.
Right.
So that you have a better way of functioning in life and feeling better. And I think that's a very important fact.
So when it gets to dementia versus Alzheimer's, how is it diagnosed? How do you understand what it is and where it's going?
Sure. Well, first of all, dementia is a group of symptoms. The symptoms may be word-finding difficulties, It may be unable to do some of the tasks that you did before, not remembering things that you had always been able to do, like appointments or to do certain activities. Then when you look at Alzheimer's disease, it is a form. It is a disease that has symptoms of dementia. Another disease that has symptoms of dementia is cardiovascular or stroke.
Okay.
Okay. When you have a stroke, many times you can develop dementia-like symptoms. Your memory is not good.
Right.
You can't always remember. So that there are many different reasons that you can have dementia symptoms. The most common form is Alzheimer's. About 70% of the people that come in with dementia symptoms have Alzheimer's disease.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that high.
Oh, that's why Alzheimer's is really sort of the big gun out there that you hear
right.
so much about. The Alzheimer's Association does a phenomenal amount of good for people and even for caregivers of patients with Alzheimer's disease. So there's another problem that people can develop, which is Lewy body disease. And that can come from people with Parkinson's disease in the later stages of their illness. Sometimes they have a little bit more behavioral problems. It's a little bit different. And so when we are assessing people that are complaining of memory problems, one of the most important things we have to do is take a very careful history. How did it start? How long have you had it? What are some of the symptoms that you're experiencing? And many times the patients can't always articulate what's going on.
Right.
And that's why we always have the family present, because they are many times the better historians of the behavior or what they've noticed.
What they've noticed. And they're not going to not tell you what
right.
you don't. They will don't. A lot of times I find that people don't tell their doctor what they should be telling their doctor. And
well, there's an element of fear of
right.
hearing it. I mean, we see that people try to cover the symptoms by, you remember, Joe. Remember that time? Well, I can't quite remember it. You know, they will kind of
right.
play it off somebody on the family that'll help them remember. And we see that. That's why families, we want to be there, but we don't want them to respond to all the answers. We want them to just be supportive.
Interesting. And the one question that always is in my mind is, why are we having so much more of Alzheimer's today? Is it because we didn't know what it was before? Or is there things changing that's bringing more of it to the surface?
That's a good question, Joe. I mean, I don't know the exact answer to that. I can only say that I think we're able to assess things better. I think that there's better technology today for looking at the brain. PET scans are done on younger people, and they can see how the brain is changing, and that's very helpful. They didn't have that technology before.
Okay.
And so we can do things today to pinpoint what the problem is a lot easier. I have to wonder, though, you know, our technology has taken us to a new level with our exposure to chemicals and to pollution and to all kinds of things.
Right.
And a lot of our patients may be carrying that EPOE4 gene. We don't know what triggers it exactly. And could that possibly be stimulating that gene to start the process of Alzheimer's at a younger age?
Just like you said, chemo sometimes is, you know, anything
yes.
that's an outside influence.
Yeah, they call it chemo brain in
chemo
people
brain.
That get chemo for cancer.
And what is the youngest that we're detecting people with Alzheimer's?
Well, we've had, I think the youngest person we've seen was 34. But we've had several actually come in with Lyme disease. And some of them have been affected by it affects
right.
the neurological system of the body. And some of these people have come in with memory impairments as well. So we want to make sure that they've been diagnosed properly, get them treated, and hopefully try to reverse some of those symptoms.
Wonderful.
That's why it's so important to know, why do I have this?
Right. Early detection and then scientific understanding
yes.
of what it is you're
right.
going through. We're going to play a few more of our sponsors and come back with Linda Bryant and Joe Peters in just a few minutes.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the 4 key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hyde & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Hi, it's Joe Peters with Weikert Realtors, and our program format today is 55 plus. I do one program the first Tuesday of each month at 4 on real estate, called Real Estate Matters, and then I do a 55 plus for helping people coming into the retirement age understand what's available to them and some of the things that the county is able to do. And then I do another program on real estate the third week, and the fourth week we do the 55 plus again. So this is the 55 plus format. I'm dealing with Linda Bryant, who's a registered nurse and has been with Hunterdon Healthcare for 40 plus years. That's amazing. I didn't think the building looks so new. I can't imagine it being here 40 years ago. How small was it when it started?
Oh, it was just the main building, and now they've got all these additional floors, and there are actually like 3 buildings that are connected now. And that, you know, when you asked me earlier about what has changed so remarkably over the years, I would say Hunter Medical Center has changed with the times to bring the services that have been really needed in the community, and that's where the expansion and the advancement has come in.
I know I've had a simple hernia done there, and it was amazing how I was in and out the same day. I didn't
right.
stay overnight. And then one of my customers was going to have a baby, and she says, I'm going to Hunterdon Medical Center because they have a dessert cart in the maternity ward. I'm saying, I've never heard that before. I mean, it sounds like they are rolling
it's
with the
time. It's a wonderful maternity ward. It really is.
What an experience. And how long does a woman stay in for maternity now?
Not very long. They're out usually within 48 hours.
48 hours.
Unless they've had a cesarean, they may keep them a little longer.
And one of my daughters decided she was going to do that and not to go through labor. Boy, was she mistaken. She still has little stretch pains here and there. So we were talking about the Memory Center. When did the Memory Center come into being?
Probably around 2009, 2008.
So about 7-8 years ago at this point in time. And how does that differ from the rest of the hospital? Is that underneath some of the other?
Well, in terms of its staff, all the staff that are working in the medical, the Memory Center are employees of Hunterdon Medical Center.
Okay.
We had resided in a department in one of the buildings. But just recently, actually Friday, January 22nd, our department moved to another building on the Westcott campus. And it's a beautiful new suite and a little bit easier, I think, for patients to get to. We still are connected. We're still employees of Hunter Medical Center. It's just that everything's growing, you know.
Yes.
There are new services needed that to help people in the community. And some things have to be in the hospital and some things don't.
Right.
And I think our patients are better served in the community with easier access in the suite that we're currently in.
Oh, good. I'm going to have to stop by and see your new digs.
We'd love to have you come by. You can compare it to the other
one. Because I remember when I came, you said, you'll never find me. I have to come down and get you. And
that's
you were correct.
Right.
That was
one of the services. We had resided in probably one of the most remote places in the hospital as it stands now. So what we did as a service to our families and patients that came to our department, we would meet them at the information desk.
Okay.
And we would escort them.
So now what do you do with all that extra time that you don't have to walk down?
Oh, well, you know, that helps us be more efficient. We can cut down on all of that time.
So I think we've all gone through maybe, why didn't I remember that? Or I can't think of their name anymore and start to question ourselves. When does it become time to stop thinking maybe I'm a little bit of a hypochondriac and start thinking that I may have a problem here. Maybe I should talk to somebody about it. What is that fine line that you cross?
And well, it's probably going to be different for everyone, but I think we all forget sometimes. And as we get older, if you think of your brain as a file cabinet, it takes a little bit longer to go through the files to remember certain things. But if you remember eventually, you don't have dementia, because people who have dementia will not remember it.
Right.
You know, and I often say, you know, I can't find my keys. I can't find my glasses. You get used to putting things in the same place. You develop a system to help you remember, too. There is a lot of things to remember today. There are passwords and passwords when you're using computers and iPhones and all these other devices that we're currently using. We can't remember it all. So we write it down. We put it in a book. I have a password book so I can remember what passwords for what program. But I think it becomes a problem, and you really need to think about whether you need to be assessed if it's really interfering with your function.
Okay.
And you're not remembering at all.
Memory never comes back.
It doesn't come back. And you might even get feedback from your spouse and say, is there something going on? You know, you're not remembering as well. Or sometimes the person that you live with will be more aware of it than you will. You might blow it off a little bit.
Right.
And you might do it out of fear. You might do it out of denial. But generally, someone is bound to see it or ask you, what's going on?
Somebody that sees you every day may not see it as much as somebody who has lived with you, but the kids come see you once a month and they're saying, Mom,
something's not right here. And I think sitting down and talking with your family doctor is very important. Everybody should have a medical home and a family doctor and say, I'm really concerned. I just can't remember the things that I used to. I've gotten feedback from my wife or my children, and I think I really need to be tested. I need to understand if I've got something going on.
Wow.
We all forget things from time to time. Stress plays a part in it. Stress can be one of the biggest factors for a lot of people because, you know, you're dealing with too many things that interfere with your concentration. And depression is one of those things as well.
Mm.
So it's important to rule out, is it something we can fix? Is it something we need to talk about that might even make you feel better about it? But not let it go on and on and on.
So talking to your family doctor,
very important,
is a great first step. And
absolutely,
if your family doctor says, And I've been through this with a loved one, and the family doctor says, I see no signs of what you're suspecting, but let's run a few tests to make sure.
Right.
And I guess that's the second step, is that your family doctor would prescribe mm-hmm. what's next, which could include your services.
Absolutely. Right. Many physicians in the community are aware of our program, and they will send patients to us. We do a computer program. A lot of younger people are really, and I'll tell you, for the seniors that come to us, they do very, very well. But what we do is we will do manual tests first to see if you can focus and give us some correct answers. If you can do that, then we'll put you on the computer. But if you're really frustrated and unable to get through the manual tests, we will not put people on the computer. I think it would be too frustrating and too upsetting. So if we get a failed result on the manual test, we just take it to another step in terms of looking closely at, we can usually tell basically by the results of the test and the history that something is a little bit more than just depression.
Okay. And most insurance coverage covers things like these diagnoses to a limit, I guess, depending on your insurance. So there should be no fear if somebody is saying, either if a loved one that I need to talk to is starting to show signs, or I'm feeling I have signs like this, talking to the family doctor and then maybe going through some further evaluation based on that doctor's direction, I guess, or findings. The findings would be from the further evaluation. Are logical steps. And how many people that come to you thinking they have a problem really don't have a problem? I mean, is it a...
Most people have a problem, but it may not be what they think it is.
Okay. That's interesting.
It's very interesting. There was a gentleman who came. It was an executive, actually. And he was finding himself falling asleep. He couldn't stay awake. He really thought he had Lyme disease or something else that was causing it. And it turned out that the antihistamine that he was taking first thing in the morning was causing him to fall asleep during the day, and not it was interfering with his memory because he was so tired. So when the physician talked with him, we changed his medication to take in at night so he would go to sleep, is what the medication was making him doing.
Right.
And he only needed to take it once a day, so he felt a lot better, and it changed things. So sometimes you got to look at medications. You got to see what they're doing. And that's important.
I've often said that life is like a football field. You're going to go from 1 to 100 or somewhere a little short of that, depending. And then based on people hitting you from the flank side or tackling you from the back, you know, sometimes it gets altered. And some people are going to live longer than others, but it's always cause and effect. And so many times I'll hear a friend say, I haven't been to the doctor in 10 years. And I'll say to myself, this guy's nuts. Why are you afraid to go to the doctor? You want to be under medical care on a constant basis so that at least they can evaluate the change that's happening in your body.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you know, people in their youth that have had multiple concussions, I mean, you talk about like a football field. Think about the NFL and how the issue of cognitive impairment has come up to the point of saying we're getting people with neurological impairment, we've got dementia here because of the repeated concussions that has happened over time. And some of these guys have got dementia. They really do. When you look at our youth today, there is a concussion program that's been instituted through the Hunterdon Medical Center for children to make sure that they're not ignoring signs of deficits.
Wow.
To keep them out of sports until they're ready to go back in. It's important because one of the risk factors for dementia is repeated brain trauma. Mm. Boxers, football players, any of the people where there's contact sports, it is an issue. I had a woman that came to the memory center who was a horseback rider, and she was thrown from her horse. She had a terrible head injury, and she had some cognitive impairment after that. It was such a severe concussion. So you have to look at people's history to see just what's going on.
You know, I think it's wonderful. I'm a big pro football Giants season ticket holder and all of that stuff. But this weekend I heard them say during one of the playoffs that he's going through concussion assessment by a third party. In other words, they're not letting the team doctors make the decision anymore.
Absolutely.
It is. I can recall we were in Marathon, Florida, and I saw somebody had Giants plates on their car. So I put my groceries in the car and started it, so it was hot, so I got cool. I went back and I knocked on the window, the guy rolled out. I said, hey, I'm a Giants season ticket holder, I see. Well, it turns out it was Mickey Walker, who was the quarterback for the Giants from 61 to 65.
Oh, my goodness. That's great.
I had to look up who he was. I remembered Y.A. Tittle during that, but not Mickey Walker. And he was all crippled up. He was, at that point, in his early 70s. And he said, they didn't have what we have today. And as a result, a lot of us were never analyzed. And he said, I have to walk with a walker. He said, we never really made much money back then, and we don't have many benefits, although it's getting better. They are starting to take. It was just like eye-opening to me that, you know, first of all, I met a celebrity that I didn't know who he was, but I looked up who he was, and now I understand he was the quarterback when Y.L. Tittle was throwing those alley-oops down the field. And it's just good to see that we're finally aware of it, and I think finally aware of it not only on a football field, but in lots of other things. The fact, I mean, I'm learning as I sit here and talk to you that concussions can lead to early Alzheimer is mind-boggling. Is probably not the right term to use, but it's like, wow, who else didn't know that before 5 minutes ago?
Right. That repeated brain trauma is terrible. It really is.
So boxing or anything to do mm-hmm. with mild concussions, intermediate concussions, could lead to early Alzheimer.
Right.
And what is the earliest we're seeing? You said you saw somebody in their 30s.
I saw people in their 40s. I went to the Alzheimer's Association annual conference several years ago. So I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago. And they had families there of younger people. There was a husband and wife, and the wife was 45.
Okay.
And she had teenage children. And basically, she could not care for them.
Wow.
You know, these were children that were helping mom, and husband had to work. And we knew eventually over time they were going to have to either place her or have somebody around the clock with her. So it has happened. People who really develop it that early generally have a hereditary factor. There's probably some hereditary history of Alzheimer's in the family.
And you mentioned there's a marker that's present?
The APOE4 gene, yes.
Okay, and can people determine whether that's...
It's interesting you ask that, Joe, because we have never really had caregivers ask us, these are children of their parents,
right.
Can I get that test? I want to see if I have that gene. Nobody really has asked that.
Well,
and I think...
I don't think they want to know.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Because we don't have anything that we can cure it or make it better.
Right.
I think if we can improve technology, medications, vaccines, whatever we can do to improve the diagnoses and the physiology of what's happening to the brain, then I think maybe we will have people that want to jump on board earlier, so that it doesn't become advanced.
Wow.
But we don't have that.
What does APOE stand for?
It's a long word, and I don't remember.
Okay, fair enough.
The APOE4 gene is what I know.
Okay, fair enough. And I know there's a lot of other markers, too, that now that we can do genetics the way we do it.
Absolutely. Even in cancer.
Yeah.
They're looking at certain markers as well. Yes.
I think I've read everything Robin Cook, who is a doctor, author, has written. I just love his style. And he's always talking about markers, and the marker was present, and they didn't know it, or they did find out, and as a result. So let's talk. We've got about 10 minutes exactly left. Let's talk about services for seniors that are related to your job. And we talked, I don't think we've exhausted it, but I think we spent a good amount on Alzheimer's. What else could a senior come to see you about?
Well, I think if they're looking for resources, you know, if you have a diagnosis, whether we've made it or some other institution or physician has made the diagnosis, we can offer resources because we know what Hunterdon County has to offer.
Right.
Even if the person comes from a different county, we can kind of give them a description of the kinds of services that there are. And usually in Warren and Somerset County, even Mercer, we have a lot of information about those counties as well, where to go for help. For example, one of the things that becomes difficult for the caregiver in the moderate stages, mostly, is having to be there with the individual all the time. Caregivers need a break.
Right.
So there are services for both the caregiver and there are services for the individual with the dementia. And those are the kinds of things you want to get people introduced to so that the person with the dementia can be with people and in a program that they're understood, but they get good stimulation to the brain so that they're having fun, mm-hmm. but they're learning, and you're maintaining some of their function by keeping them active. Isolation and inactivity is terrible for people with dementia. You need to keep them social as much as possible.
I think it's terrible for people in general.
I agree.
You know,
but it's even worse for them.
Yeah, I can see that. I think a lot of people, and I've seen it happen, get to retirement age and not really have any plans for what they're going to do with all their time. And as a result, they're wasting their time doing things that are non-productive. They could become volunteers at United Way. I went into United Way and asked her, what does United Way do for the seniors? And she turned the tables on me and says, we help them find things to do. We help them help other seniors do their taxes and get into philanthropy and things
Absolutely.
Like that. And it was just a wonderful answer. I wasn't thinking that way. So,
but even for caregivers, there are a lot of resources out there for them as well. And they begin to learn how to deal with the different behaviors that they have to deal with their loved one. They find that they're not alone, that they have friends that understand them. Because lots of times when one of the couple has the disease, they don't have the friendships that they used to have. They can't quite connect.
Right.
It's kind of looking in the mirror sometimes, and I think people tend to shy away from being with people who reflect that kind of behavior. Dementia is what I'm meaning. So being caregivers, to be with people who are dealing with it, that are working it, are very encouraging to new caregivers who haven't been exposed to the caregiver support groups.
What about things like prescription medicine? Can that affect? I mean, I know you said like the radiation to help with cancer could... Mm-hmm. But that's not a medication. That's sort of a therapy. I don't know. But I'm not medical.
Yes,
but
medications can. We find that sometimes people who are on a lot of psychiatric drugs due to behavioral problems or mental health problems
right.
many time have impaired cognition. And so we have to look at that. And sometimes medication adjustments can be done by the psychiatrist they're seeing. And sometimes it helps and sometimes it doesn't. What we are beginning to see, though, that there are a number of people with mental health problems that are developing dementia. And that can be a problem. I mean, they're sort of getting a double whammy, if you will. They've
right.
got mental health problems, and here now they have dementia on top of it. So
which comes first usually in a situation? Like, you could unravel one from the other, I guess.
Well, I think mental health problems can be going on for many years before they're even detected or treated because
right.
they've hidden.
Right.
They cope and they do what they have to do not to be able to let people see that they're not working or, you know, compensating well. So I think that once they develop dementia, it just makes things twice as bad.
Interesting. So we're sitting with about 5 minutes left. What haven't we covered that you would have liked to have talked about today?
Well, one of the favorite passions that I have. I work with the Volunteer Guardianship One-on-One program, which was actually founded by Tony Serra, an attorney that worked in Hunterdon County, and also our surrogate, Susan Hoffman.
Yes, I know Susan.
And we're going to be honoring her this year as well for her work as co-founder of Volunteer Guardianship. But what we try to do, or what the organization tries to do, and the board is part of that whole process, is to train people how to be volunteer guardians.
Okay.
And we do this through education. There is a national program, and one of the things that we try to do is have like a series of programs every year. And this year, we're probably going to have two series. We're having a spring series coming up, I think April 14th?
Yeah, April 13th.
13th,
I'm
sorry.
The sheet that you gave me.
Right. The first one's going to be on hoarding. A lot of guardians that have taken on cases have found that some of their clients have an issue with hoarding, and it's important to know what resources there are. So we're doing a program on April 13th. It's going to be at the Hunterdon Medical Center. Registration starts at 5:15 p.m., an RSVP is required because there is food involved, and we need to know how much food we need to have there. But it is free. And we're also going to have a company that has been very effective in helping clean out the hoarder's home. And that's important. It's a resource, so we need to make sure that people know about that. We're going to have Professor Jim Hart, who's from Rutgers University School of Social Work, do the program that night. We're also going to have on April 20th another program. We've asked someone from the Alzheimer's Association, Laura Hawkins, to talk about coping with caregiver stress. It's very important. And we're going to have Dr. Larissa Golub, who's one of the geriatricians in my program, talk about medications for the Alzheimer's patient. And I'm hoping she's going to be attending a program to find out about all the new and up-and-coming clinical trials that there are that people might want to take advantage of. And that, as I said, is April 20th, same time, same place, and an RSVP is required. And last but not least, we're going to talk about guardianship, making financial decisions, what's best for the ward, and funeral plans and preparations to help guardians get through some of the things that they have to do. And we're going to have that evening Robert Shanahan, who is an elder law attorney from Shanahan and Voy, talk about legal decisions, and he's going to be the moderator of that program. Again, it is 5:15. RSVP is required, and it will be in the HMC or hospital auditorium.
Great.
So I hope people will take advantage of that.
Yeah, and I'm just looking. The RSVP number to Cindy or Linda is 908-788-4893, extension 716. And there's also a www.volunteerguardianship.org site.
Yes.
Just the way it sounds, which will have the details on it. And if you go to jpeters.com and go to the 55-plus page, I'll have this information posted out
there
as well.
Thank you. That's wonderful.
We'll put it out on our social media sites. Linda, I thank you very much for joining us today. I hope you can come back again in the future. If you'd like to talk to Linda directly, I guess that's the same numbers.
That number on the, that's actually Linda Patrick. She is the director of volunteers.
Got it.
Linda Bryant, you can reach me at 788-6373.
And that's 908.
908-788-6373.
Okay, and my name is Joe Peters. I'm with Weikert, running the 55-plus program, trying to help the seniors in our Hunterdon County area understand what's available to them. And if you've got any questions for me, I'm based in Clinton, and I'm at 908-238-0118. Joe Peters, Weikert. I thank you very much for joining us today. I see we're at the top of the hour, so we're going to put the news back on, and your next guest will be on in a few minutes. Thank you for joining us today, and thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Joe. Take care.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
A potential shooting situation at a San Diego Naval Hospital turns out to be a false alarm. Senior correspondent Jason Wirt has more.
In the end, everyone was happy it was just a false alarm. The Naval Medical Center in San Diego was placed on lockdown this morning after reports of a possible active shooter inside a campus building. Naval personnel said they discovered there were no actual shots fired and no actual shooter. However, a spokesman praised the response in light of recent terror attacks.
I think we've done very well. I think we were ready for this situation. And, you know, it's never perfect, but I think we did very well. And we're doing well.
The spokesman said no patients had to be evacuated.